So if I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. If I can ask everyone to please stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we've already had our elected comments, and is there any? Okay, very good. So we're going to go right into some fun stuff. Where is Charlotte and Mackenzie? So, this is a special day. I'm going to come on over here, and if you don't mind, maybe we've got.
Yeah, I got it.
Which one, Mackenzie? This is really a special day for you and for the village of River Forest. And I'm going to go ahead and read the proclamation that the village board will approve and I have signed, recognizing these wonderful women and what they've done. So let me just hang with me. I'll read it. Whereas Charlotte Meyer and Mackenzie Lovell, okay, are ninth graders who recently graduated from Roosevelt Middle School in River Forest. Congratulations. Whereas, after attending the River Forest Leading the Way in Sustainability event at the River Forest Public Library earlier this spring, they were inspired to make a difference in their community. And whereas Mackenzie and Charlotte, with support of their outstanding teachers, and where are they? There's Mr.
Catholic.
Okay, Mr. Catholic, thank you. Outstanding teacher. And Amy Raines presented their projects on waste diversion to the River Forest Sustainability Commission on June 5, 2018. And whereas Charlotte and Mackenzie created a reusable snack bags and sold them to their classmates, very smart. And whereas Mackenzie and Charlotte spoke with fifth graders about waste diversion in their lunchroom and mentored them in a waste diversion issues, inspiring many fifth graders to create posters about environmental and sustainability issues. And whereas Charlotte and Mackenzie donated the proceeds from the reusable bag sales, totaling $83, to the Village of River Forest in order to support sustainability causes. And now, therefore, I, Catherine Odusi, the president of the Village of River Forest, do hereby proclaim July 9th, and that's today, 2018, as Charlotte and Mackenzie Reusable Bag Day. So every day, every year on July 9th, that's your day. So thank you. I'm not finished. And I urge all citizens to celebrate sustainability efforts in the village today and into the future. Congratulations. Very nice. Thank you. We have Mackenzie and Charlotte. Right. So that's yours. And then we have, we're going to take pictures so you can't go away too soon. And we have, is there anything maybe you want to speak about? Come up to a podium here and tell us a little bit about anything? We've got a big room of River Forest residents that came here for other reasons, but I'm sure they'll be happy to hear.
Well, this is a very proud moment for Roosevelt Middle School when students help the community, the world at large. This is all the credit really goes to Charlotte and Mackenzie. So,
very good, thank you. So if I can ask the board to come around and you can take pictures with you.
Do we hold them or put them down?
Sorry.
No, you don't. Well, also congratulations to the parents.
Can you grab me?
Oh, right. Yes, so here are the reusable bags. What do you think?
No.
Well, here, I failed to say, they actually brought the reusable bags. So I'm going to let Charlotte McKenzie kind of explain a little bit what they did. Because, you know, we got a big audience here. That's all right. Go ahead, what do we say?
Just show them what you use the mic so that they, here.
You made these and you can put your snacks in them instead of using Ziploc bags. Because when you use Ziploc bags, you just throw them out after one use. But with these, you can use them a lot of times. And that could use a lot of them.
We were just in Charlotte's basement one day, like, what should we do, like, to help the earth? And we were both like, we should do reusable snack bags. Like, we should make them. And so we both got out our sewing machines. A lot of thread was used. A lot of store trips we had to make, but it was all worth it in the end because we made the world a better place.
Very good.
Do you put them in the
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Great.
All right.
Andrew was appointed earlier, and most of the people were here. I don't know if is Andrew still here?
No, he left.
He was just here. He was appointed. He was literally just here. Okay.
Busy guy.
Sorry.
Always hang loose for now. Let people wander in here.
There's some seats up here in the front if anybody's looking for a seat. We've got two, and there's one other one up here in the front if anybody's looking to sit. We'll wait a couple minutes while people come into the room. There's one other seat up here if anybody's interested. Yeah, we got to vote. So, yeah, let's take a vote on. We got so wrapped up and we've got to vote. Let's get the official vote. I don't know where Michael
went. Do we need a motion or
no? Wait, no, we moved in a second. Didn't we do that?
No.
For the kids?
No.
All right, we need to do that too.
So the motion would be what? To
To vote on the proclamation. I went right into it.
I move to make June 9th, right, 2018.
Yeah, we need Mike and Rez.
Charlotte and McKenzie Reusable Bag Day in the Village of River Forest.
Okay.
I'll second.
Susan beat ya. We need Mike in before we take the vote. I don't know where they went.
This is kind of a lot of conflict for us, too.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to do a vote on the proclamation. There we go. Yep. One final thing. We didn't vote on the proclamation.
Okay.
So we had Trustee Corsini moved it, and Trustee Conti seconded, so now we're ready for the vote, please.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Very happily, yes.
Motion passed.
Nice. All right. Thank you for keeping me honest. All right. Now on to the item number 5, which is the public hearing for the proposed North Avenue Tax Increment Finance District. Do we have something that just opens it up? Or?
Just a declaration that it's now open by yourself.
Okay, it is now officially open, the public hearing. So we're going to call the public hearing to order.
7:19 p.m.
7:19 p.m.
All right, very good. Tonight, under, as many of you know from receiving notices in the mail, the Village of River Forest is considering a tax increment financing district for the North Avenue corridor. As set out in the TIF Act, a public hearing is required before any of this can be considered by the Village Board of Trustees. So tonight we'll have a brief presentation. I'll walk you through a little primer on TIFs. If you have been to any of the other previous public meetings, I apologize. I tend to recycle my material, so you'll see some of the same information I have provided previously. Our consultants from Cain McKenna will also make a presentation, provide some information about the qualification of the TIF, TIF district. We'll talk about the Joint Review Board and their findings, and then anyone who wants to speak and address the Village Board tonight has the ability to do so before the public hearing is concluded. With that being said, I'll go ahead and start the presentation. Jonathan, do you have the clicker?
You do. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. All right, very good. So why are we here tonight? The Village is proposing a tax increment financing district for the North Avenue corridor. As I mentioned before, the Act requires a public hearing before the Village Board can consider this. Besides the legal ramifications, what are some of the other reasons? Well, it's of strategic importance for the Village in terms of redeveloping and reinforcing properties in the corridor. And that's a term you'll hear me say a lot. It's not just about redevelopment projects, it's about reinforcement of existing properties. At the end of the day, a TIF is a financial tool. That's essentially what we're talking about. It's about creating another pot of money for the Village to use in order to create opportunity. It allows the Village to better control its own destiny, and that's a challenge that we face often. And if you heard the tail end conversation about the small cell wireless, which is unrelated to TIF, but it's another good example of the state trying to come in and dictate what the Village should do. And this is a good example of the Village trying to dictate what it feels is best for the community. And we did have a market study that talked about the support of the TIF creation. This was actually talked about well in the 2003 quarter or comprehensive plan, but all those documents are available online. And I'm sure you've in our cover letters we've talked about vrf.us/north-tif. And we'll talk a little bit about what Lake Street did when we had a TIF district in the Lake Street corridor. Here are the boundaries of the TIF. Again, it runs the whole length from Harlem to Thatcher, on North Avenue, and picks up the frontage as well as some of the property behind the frontage. And the big block in the middle, that is St. Vincent Ferrer Church, connecting the two main areas on North Avenue. So a little TIF history before we get into the TIF mechanics of what TIF is. The Village had a TIF previously on Lake Street. So for those of you who have been in the community a long time, they know over at Lake in Harlem, there had been some challenges with previous commercial areas that had failed. Weebolts had been there. They had closed its doors. And the equalized assessed value, which is the number that is used to calculate what your property taxes are calculated, so when you probably just got your tax bill, in there, there's a assessed valuation and then an equalized assessed valuation. Those valuations were going down, and so the Village leaders at that time knew they had to do something in order to control property value in that area, so they created a TIF district. And that TIF district essentially allowed for phase one, phase two of River Forest Town Center, the Jewel Project. The community center at that time was down in that area, and so they moved when Jewel was built and created many other opportunities for redevelopment, reinforcing existing infrastructure, things of that nature. At the end of the day, when it was all said and done, the TIF generated $63 million in additional assessed valuation, which is significant. That generated a new, roughly an additional $5 million in property taxes for all the taxing jurisdictions that hadn't been there before. So when we look at TIF and says, well, what is TIF going to do? What does this end up looking like? Lake Street is a good example of that and something we can point to as a success. We recently established a TIF district on Madison Street that was done in 2016, and the Village has purchased two properties since we have acquired or implemented the TIF district, Lutheran Family Services, which is on Madison, and 10 Lathrop. Both of those were strategic purchases, as both owners wanted to sell their property. The village made both property owners an offer. Through negotiations, they accepted. But I want to stress to everyone, those were all voluntary transactions. No one was forced to do anything. Both property owners were choosing to sell, and the village decided to purchase the property. So how does TIF work? As you know, through all the documents you've received in the mail, unfortunately those mailings are coming to a close, so we won't be inundating your mailbox any further as regards to the TIF. But essentially the village hires a consultant who will speak here in a little bit, and we work to establish three plans: an eligibility study, redevelopment project and plan, and a housing impact study. Those have all been made available to you, and you can review those. Once the village establishes the TIF district and does so at a village board meeting, and that's not happening tonight, but would happen at a subsequent meeting, we notify the county clerk and inform them that the TIF district has been established. At that point, they freeze the EAV for all the properties in that boundary we talked about earlier. To you, as the homeowner, you don't notice anything. You continue to get your tax bill. You continue to pay your property taxes. Your property value continues to increase and decrease based on what the assessor believes it to be. But back at the county, they freeze all those EAVs. And what will happen is, over time, as your EAV increases, the property taxes that are associated with that increase in EAV goes into a special pot that the village controls and use for redevelopment reinforcement projects on North Avenue. And so, as it goes on to say, the incremental tax again is used in the furtherance of the goals of the TIF district. Once the TIF is terminated, which as Lake Street after 23 years, the TIF is 23 years in length, once it's terminated, all the taxing bodies then receive the value of all that incremental EAV that has increased over the life of the TIF, and they receive that full benefit, and they receive the property tax value associated with that. Again, property owners in the TIF do not see a change to their EAV or their taxes. So one thing I want to stress is some people here freeze and they think property tax. No, your property taxes don't freeze. They continue to increase or decrease just like they normally would have. It's your equalized assessed value that is frozen, but it's only frozen for purposes of the county knowing how to calculate how much money the TIF district gets. You will not see a difference in your tax bill at all. You wouldn't know that you were necessarily even in a TIF district. And that's just an important thing I want to point out, because sometimes people leave these meetings and say, hey, guess what, my property taxes are frozen. I can't do that. And I'm sure there are many people who would love for me to do that, but I can't. It's essentially a process that's handled by the county down downtown. So here's another way to look at it. If you're like me, I like to look at pictures to better understand things. There are two red buckets. That first bucket, that's the base revenue, right? So all the money that comes in from property tax from your assessed valuation goes into that big bucket. And so the schools get that, the village, the park district, the mosquito abatement district, who's been working hard this summer, right? So they continue to get their normal dollars. The small bucket, again, is that incremental revenue that we just talked about. So the money that comes in associated with any increment in property value within the North Avenue TIF district goes in that smaller bucket. In the Village of River Forest, the Board of Trustees control that bucket and then allocate that for various projects to further the goals of the TIF district. Here's another way to look at it, and I'll use the little green pointer here to kind of help out. So when the TIF is established right over here, which depending on scheduling, could happen as early as August, we go ahead and notify the county and say, hey, county, TIF is established. Go ahead and freeze that EAV. And then over time, projects will happen within the TIF, right? So you may have a new project come on board. We may provide some assistance to existing properties within the TIF to help those properties out, maybe help with parking, landscaping, wayfinding. There's a lot of possibilities to that, right? And so as those projects come online, the property value in the TIF will continue to increase. As it does, this little dotted line represents the new EAV. Well, the county's still telling you, hey, or telling us, everything's frozen here. So all this incremental value that's generated by these projects creates more money, and that money goes into that small bucket we just talked about. Here at the end, 23 years later, so it'll be 20, well, you can do the math. Anyhow, 23 years, 23 plus 18, right? 30, 41, right? 41. So anyhow, at that point, the TIF is terminated. We let the county know. The village board adopts an ordinance. And then all that incremental growth over here, that is returned back to all the taxing bodies. So the school districts, the park districts, the village, which we're a part of, all get the incremental assessed valuation that's associated with all that projects that happened in the TIF over the 23 years. So what's in all these documents that are online that you've reviewed and said, okay, great, now, Eric, what does this all mean? There is a budget within that TIF document, so I would draw your attention to that. It doesn't fund all private development costs. So, again, we do have the ability within TIF to provide monies to reinforce existing properties, but it doesn't pay for private development costs, and I think that's an important thing to note. We talked about the TIF being 23 years in length. There is an independent audit and review of the TIF each year, so our auditors, when they come in and audit our books, they will create a separate audit report relating to the TIF, and then there is also a joint review board of all the taxing districts that meet on an annual basis to provide oversight back to the village board on what's taking place. We also were required under state law to complete a TIF housing impact study, and that information in there is in there as well. The important thing, the point of the impact study, and this is talked about in this TIF plans, and I repeat this strongly so people understand this, the village has no plans at this time to buy anyone's property. So no one's, the TIF's not going to come online and we're going to start knocking on anyone's door and say, hey, we want to buy your house, we want to buy your business, or anything like that. At the end of the day, it's a financing tool. It's a way to create more revenue to do projects within the TIF district. Eligible activities. So what can this TIF money be spent on? So these are a list of some of those projects. Again, we talk about rehabilitation and renovation of existing public and private buildings. I think that's something that is grossly under-talked about and not focused on enough, and that's something where we can use not only functional reuse of commercial property, but reinforce residential property. There's the construction of public works projects, so new sewers, water mains, things of that nature within the TIF district are things we can spend money on. If we get into job training and retraining programs, if you had a special business that wanted to come to town and said, look, we need a skilled workforce for that, the TIF could assist with that. There's also, of course, the sheer reports and professional costs that go with putting something together to study things, to do engineering reports, things of that nature. That can all be paid for out of the TIF. And then if there is property acquisition like we did on Madison where we purchased Lutheran Family Services, that's paid for out of the TIF district. And then if we got into things like demolition, site prep, and then there are rules for tuition payments to schools as well that we would follow. Couple other things to point out about TIF, and I had a conversation with a couple residents about this today, and I think it's important to point this out. TIF does not do away with or eliminate local planning or zoning regulations. So if there was a development project on your neighborhood, and a good example would be the Loyola property where Plunkett used to be, right? And so that was obviously pre-TIF, but during that process, notices were mailed out to people who lived within 500 feet of the property. People had the ability to come forward and say, hey, we're in favor of this project or we have concerns about the project. And that was vetted by the Development Review Board, ultimately decided by the Village Board of Trustees. That does not change. That continues to remain. So in the event there was some sort of project that took place, the ability as a resident to, again, come in and weigh in on that and offer your insight and opinion, that does not change. The normal entitlement process for development continues to exist as it is today. Again, it's primarily a financing tool designated to address area impediments and to encourage redevelopment activity, and that, again, is all at the village board's discretion. Again, properties continue to be assessed uniformly, both within and outside the TIF. So when the assessor comes and determines what your property value is, the basis by which the fact that you're in the TIF district has no basis to determine an increase or decrease in your value of your home or your business structure, what have you. Same thing for tax rates. Your tax rates will remain the same. Nothing is going to change there. And again, discretions and decisions as to redevelopment, should that happen, that's all in local control. So the same processes that are in exist today will continue to be in existence. There were some questions in the Madison Street TIF about eminent domain. We have basically included the same policy that we did on Madison here on North Avenue. So we basically have mirrored that. So any property that is not abutting the North Avenue corridor, the actual street, has a eminent domain protection. That being said, as I say that, the village has no plans to purchase anyone's home at this time. So, people typically get concerned about that, rightly so. It's your home. We understand that. This village board has not used eminent domain in the past. I don't see them using eminent domain in the future. And so if folks are concerned about that, my answer to you is don't be concerned. Next steps. So there is a public hearing tonight. Final consideration can take place no less than 14 and no more than 90 days after the close of the public hearing. This board doesn't meet again in July, and so we would be looking at August 13th, 2018, as the first time we could consider implementation. There's three ordinances that the village board would consider to go ahead and put the North Avenue TIF on the books. And so that is my presentation this evening. I'm going to ask Bob Ruschlicki to come up. Bob, to the podium. Bob's just going to walk through, and so that we have on the record tonight, the qualification factors that allow the village to create the TIF. The TIF Act sets out certain things that have to be in place, and so just so we have that on the record tonight, Bob will walk through those.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board, folks. From the standpoint of the TIF plan, there's really two components that are important. One is what Eric has mentioned in terms of eligibility. State law sets out certain requirements that have to be met by River Forest. And the other one, and I think most importantly, is the vision or redevelopment activities for the area. The factors themselves are somewhat neutral as it relates to types of buildings, obsolescence. Again, there has to really be some nexus, and I think the village's work over the last few years as it relates from their comprehensive plan update, the market study they've done, and some of the other corridor plans really formed the foundation for the TIF plan itself. Again, so that's not set up in a vacuum. The other part of the equation is qualification. Under the TIF Act, they say first you have to have a redevelopment plan. There has to be redevelopment activity. That TIF would make a difference. The TIF would be an improvement or allow the municipality to achieve its goals with respect to redevelopment, similarly to what you did on Lake Street and also on Madison recently. So the TIF Act identifies two forks in the road. One is whether you're vacant or improved property. In this case, we have improved property. It's been developed over the years. Then there's another fork in the road, property. The area as a whole could either be qualified as blighted or a conservation area. In this case, again, because of the overall age of the buildings, the condition of the buildings, this was a natural as it related to conservation area. So the area qualifies as an improved conservation area. And what does that mean? Well, under the TIF Act, simply 50% or more of the buildings have to be 35 years old or greater. And in this case, we passed that hurdle. 96% of the buildings were found to be 35 years old or greater. In fact, the age of many of the buildings were in the higher percentiles in terms of 70, 80-year-old buildings that we found using Cook County Assessor data. Once you pass that threshold, you have to have 3 out of the 13 factors have to be present. And an important point of distinction is each and every property doesn't have to qualify. Each property does not have to have all of the factors. The emphasis, again, is on the redevelopment area or the area as a whole and the distribution of the factors taken together. So in this case, we identified 6 factors out of the 13. And what they were was obsolescence. And again, that was primarily tied to the age of the function of some of the buildings, the fact that many of them were depreciated near their end of the useful life in terms of assessment. We also found deterioration, and this was prevalent mainly in site improvements, but also in some of the building components, window frames, door frames, some of the components relating to tuck pointing, exterior function, and porches, as well as some of the side buildings or sheds. Third factor was inadequate utilities, and again, this was related to age, both the water and the sewer system. relating to redevelopment. If redevelopment were to occur, some of the improvements that might be needed in order to recalibrate some of the systems or modernize it. Fourth factor had to do with excessive coverage. And this we tied, in terms of our research, to the village's existing plans relating to piecemeal development over the years. Again, not unusual, but it's present. In terms of different setbacks, different lot sizes, different types of buildings, and the buffering to the adjacent uses. So that one we utilized, again, in terms of some of the village's past work, and that dovetailed into what's called deleterious layout. And again, all that really is it goes to some of the things that I talked about earlier in terms of requirements for coordinated parking. That was a big one that we identified, as well as for unloading and loading of commercial buildings, proximity to residential buildings, and also need for parking, storage, etc. The last factor was lag or declining EAV, and the TIF Act gives you three ways to go on this. Unfortunately, all three were present. I mean, the area basically demonstrated a lag in value for the last 5 years, or decline in value. It also lagged behind the CPI and the rest of the village over that same 5 years. And again, not unusual as it relates to the characteristics. When you have older structures, older properties, they're, let's say, the robustness of the valuation is a little compromised because of the fact that, again, you know, older facilities, and the assessment is maybe, again, not as strong as related to new construction. So area qualified as a conservation area, more than 50%, 96% of the buildings were 35 years old or greater, and we found 6 out of the 13 factors, and all that's needed is 3, but again, we found 6. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Moving on to item D, one of the steps in the process for TIF District is that the Joint Review Board convenes and makes a recommendation to. I'm going to explain that. So the Joint Review Board is made up of a representative of all the different taxing bodies. So each of the school districts, the park district, the village, the township, the county, and Triton. They all convene, and then there's one public member, one resident within the TIF district that also is part of that body. And so they review these draft plans that, or they're not draft anymore, the plans that Mr. Rischlicki from Kane McKenna put together on behalf of the village. They review the ordinances that the village board would ultimately approve that are drafted by the village attorney, and then can consider that, ask any questions, and then make a recommendation to the village board. So the Joint Review Board did meet and made a unanimous recommendation at its meeting to recommend approval of the North Avenue TIF District. And so that was done and has been completed. So with that being said, that outlines essentially kind of the TIF 101, what TIF is and what it isn't. We've heard from Mr. Rischlicki about the qualification factors of the TIF District and how the TIF qualifies. We've talked about the Joint Review Board and its recommendation to the Village Board. And certainly that completes all the technical things we wanted to speak to tonight. As I mentioned before, there's also an opportunity for any resident, any member of the public to make comments to the board. This is your opportunity tonight to do so. So if you would like to speak, I know the village president has some people that have signed up. I know other people came in and we had some logistics with issues. So certainly if you're not on that list, don't worry. We'll certainly give an opportunity for anyone else to come and make a comment or ask a question to the board.
Is anybody that has not signed this would like to sign it? Dan? You want me to sign it for you?
We know where he lives, right?
And anybody else? Go ahead. Yep, absolutely. Please.
Just to clarify, just if you'd like to
speak on behalf of, as this is the public hearing for the North Avenue Tax Increment Finance. So if you want to speak on behalf of that subject, please sign that sheet. No, we'll wait. We'll give it. We want to give it its due process. In a very kind and nice way. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so we have approximately 12 speakers. So That's quite a few, and we certainly want to hear everybody, but I'd ask, as you speak, please be mindful to stay within a 3-minute time frame, otherwise we'll be here all night. And please be considerate and kind. I mean, I know you want to, if you want to get a point across, please do so, but do it in a way that's professional and kind, and that's kind of who we all are, right? We're all neighbors. So with that, I'd ask Mr. Phillips to please take the podium and
what I get for getting here early, huh?
Yeah. Well, you saw the two
I just had a couple of questions, and I think you attempted to answer most of it, but because it deals with eminent domain, even though you said you're not considering buying anything at this time and that kind of stuff, there are two categories in your document. One is properties that are exempt from eminent domain, others that aren't on that list. So the property I live in is not exempt from eminent domain. So I have, and it's a condo building. So I have a couple of questions about that. You know, if we have expensive exterior kinds of projects coming up for our building, and we can't be sure what's going to happen in the next year or two, we're going to be spending like, you know, maybe $100,000 to $200,000 to upgrade our building. And then if somebody decides they're going to take over that property, it's kind of like we're putting our money in a pretty shaky kind of a deal there, because we don't know what's going to happen. So that's kind of one of my basic questions. We're uncertain about what we can do, why we should spend money if there's a chance that our property could be forced to sell and that kind of thing. The other one would be, if that's not going to happen, you talk a lot about redevelopment and that kind of stuff. Are there funds available for condo buildings to help them upgrade their facades and exteriors and that kind of thing? And when do those kind of things become available? And what's the time frame on when you actually start any of this kind of development and that kind of thing? And I think that's it for my questions.
Okay, well, let's take maybe the last question first, just because it's fresh in my mind. So the TIF is 23 years in length. Certainly there are opportunities, as I mentioned before, to create what I would say is opportunity for partnerships between the TIF district, the village, and residential properties. So certainly the village isn't going to fully subsidize at 100% certain projects, right? But there are times where we can work together, partnership, work with homeowners associations, things like that. And so that's all really on a case-by-case basis. The village ultimately and this board at some point would set policies and directives on how all that would function. Now, as I mentioned before, the TIF's 23 years in length. So things like this don't happen right away. We need the TIF to start to grow and create some increment to create some revenue. So I can't give you a magic date of when that might occur. It wouldn't typically happen on the front end. It would probably happen more on the back end, but you never know. I mean, there could be a certain project that could generate a lot of increment and create opportunity for additional things. So it's hard to give you an exact answer on that just because I don't know myself. As I always tell people sometimes think, well, we're doing the TIF district because there's some development project. There's no active development project anywhere on the books. The village is trying to be proactive and say, look, we've noticed a trend in property values in this area over a period of time, and we want to correct that and try to bring up and reinforce the properties in that area.
Right. Let's address the eminent domain, because I know that tends to be the, you know, a subject that it won't, you know, it's and I'm going to let Greg kind of talk about eminent domain in a legal aspect, because right. If you really realize what an eminent domain is, it's almost impossible for a local government to take somebody's home. It really is almost impossible. So although those words are often used, and I'm not quite sure why, because I think that's the fear and uncertainty that sometimes we might all have, but I, in the history of River Forest, at least, let's just say this, the history of River Forest, we've had one TIF, now we have two. The one TIF that was and expired was on Lake Street, which created Town Center. It actually built Village Hall, and it did, you know, Keystone Park, and it did a lot of many good things for River Forest. I don't believe in any, that within that TIF, at 23 years, that we actually did an eminent domain purchase. I mean,
I'm not aware of any.
I'm not aware.
Bob.
No.
Bob was the TIF consultant.
Bob. Yeah. So that's, you know, I mean, if history repeats itself, and it often does, I mean, it's a very difficult process to put out a, you know, to start an eminent domain. You typically see it when you're near airports or highways or places that the government says, I have to have that piece of property because we want to extend 355 or we want to, you know, have an additional runway at O'Hare. We have none of those factors here in River Forest. So I can't, you know, it's a difficult thing to talk about because it's easy to get fearful and uncertain about it. But we say at this time, not because we are trying to say, we're saying that now. It's just you don't know what's going to happen in the future. But let me assure you, for us to put in place an eminent domain process, it would be a very difficult one for the government and very expensive and nothing that I know this board or I would ever choose to do.
And maybe just one follow-up to that resident's point was about do I take on a project?
Yeah.
I would say unequivocally yes, right? Continue to live your life and invest in your property and make improvements to your property as you normally would.
Yes. Please, invest in your property. Please. Okay. I think that hopefully answered some of your questions, Mr. Phillips. The next one is Netta, on 1535 Forest. Any Netta? Nope.
No, she just probably signed in.
Okay.
Okay, no problem. It's all good. Tilda?
Yes.
Reading through your documents, I came across how projects are subsidized, how buildings are subsidized. I want to know how you calculate fair market value, and what is the difference between assessed value and fair market value, and what is the timing of the, once a project is presented, what is the timing that you will allow residents to relocate? All of your documentation on the websites, everyone of it is showing maps of the band of TIF in which you want to incorporate commercial and residential within the area, which is completely understandable from an accounting point of view. It's very reasonable, but in certain buildings, it's not feasible. So I can understand, but I would like, as the treasurer, to be able to figure out what our fair market value is and how it is calculated.
Yeah, can you give your name and address for the record?
Yeah.
Just if
yeah,
people listen
she
to the
has
tape.
It.
No, if people listen to the tape.
Oh, 1535 Forest.
Yeah. I can try to jump in on that, and Bob, if you want to come in, please do so. So assessed valuation is what the county assessor determines. And if you read the Tribune, there's some debate on how that.
I laughed.
Yeah, how that happens.
Assessor Berrios would love to know that.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'm not going to go down that rat hole. But the assessed valuation is a determination by the county, and the working with the township assessor to determine what your properties are worth. We don't, the TIF nor the village have any control or say so in any of that.
Okay, but then if the if there is a project. Mm-hmm. In the commercial, it was given an example of in the commercial area person coming in to do a project, they would be paying 50% of their project cost in addition to the fair market, to come up with the fair market value. Residential, it was 35%. This was the examples that you have on your websites.
Okay.
So I'm confused, and I can't find anything in which what River Forest has done in the past as,
So you're talking about if a residential property was acquired?
Right, if a residential property was acquired,
right.
Or wanted to be acquired
right.
by a project,
right.
mm-hmm. and I could see a project happening,
right.
What would be the fair market value? How would you calculate this, and what would mm-hmm. the residents?
Sure. Typically, that's done through an appraisal. So an outside third party will go ahead and conduct an independent appraisal, much like what happens when you buy a property and you need to get financing. The bank will order an appraisal with someone who's certified, licensed through the state of Illinois, so it's not just some guy off the street. There are people who are certified to do this, and they will provide a fair market value of what they determine that property to be. Now, many times, sometimes those people will disagree, so it's not uncommon to get a couple different appraisals, and sometimes maybe those are averaged out. Typically, what will happen, though, is a developer will come knock on your door, and if they want to purchase your property, and I should point out, everyone sees the TIF district of like, oh, well, now all of a sudden development's going to happen. Development could have happened yesterday as well. There's nothing stopping anyone from knocking on your door saying, I want to buy your house, right? They're going to know what that fair market value looks like, and if they really want your home or your property, could be a business, they may offer you more than fair market value, and they may, you know what I mean? So a lot of it depends on how badly they want your property.
So River Forest has no guidelines on what is required for a project or anything like that?
Right. So the market's going to dictate it. The housing impact study does provide guidance as it relates to if there was a residential property being acquired and someone had to move, there are protections within the housing impact study that talk about relocation costs and fair market value and things of that nature. And Bob, I don't know if you can.
No, I mean, right now there are protections that relates to notices, moving costs, relocation. It's all spelled out for the village.
That's on the website. For the relocation, they have $50,000. For the allocation, they have $1 million.
Yeah.
$1 million. And then the other number, I can't remember, right now.
Right.
$100,000, right.
And so there are budget. Assistance. Yeah, so we have to basically make an educated guess of what we think those numbers should be, and so we put that in place. There is flexibility within the TIF Act to move those line items around if we have to.
Right. That's not set in stone. That could decrease or increase.
Okay. And if someone wanted to present a project to the board, would the board immediately contact the condo? Association?
No, I mean, typically what would happen is if someone wanted to propose a project, they would talk to the property owner first. If there isn't a willingness to sell the property, they're probably not going to do the project. Developers are looking for the least path of resistance.
Right.
So if they're going to come in and the homeowners are like, no, we don't want to sell, the developer is going to move on to the next project. They're not going to spin their wheels on something where people don't want to sell their property.
Right, exactly. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Tilda. Aram? Do I have that right? A-R-A-M? A-M? Oh, you declined. Okay, thank you. I didn't hear that. Sherry? Posey? Sherry?
And just a reminder for everyone who's speaking tonight, if you could just state your name, and if you would be willing to provide your address as well.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
My name is Sherry Cozy, and my question was, I'm on the board of a homeowners association for a small condo located at 1521 Bonnie Bray, which is two buildings in from North Avenue, right near the corner of North and Harlem. It's a six-unit building, and, Cassidy Tires mm-hmm. were two buildings away from that. So how would this TIF affect our property?
I mean, I think that's a little bit what we've been talking about, Sherry, is that Right now, if somebody, you know, wanted to do something at Cassidy Tires and they wanted to expand, you know, deeper into the property line, and they, you know, came to you and said, will you be willing to sell your home at fair market value, you know, whatever that is, after you get all your appraisals or what you think your home is worth, and hopefully he pays you a little bit more or they pay you a little bit more. It's up to you. It's your decision on what you want. If you do nothing, that's okay, too.
Okay, but within the TIF, because I'm so close, our building, and I'm on the board.
Right.
I'm curious, will you say you're not going to use eminent domain. Could that change? I mean, this lasts for 23 years.
Like I said, for us as government in this environment, it would be a very difficult process to do eminent domain. If there was a developer that really, really wanted your home for the purposes of developing something there, then they should make you a really nice offer. If they don't make you a really nice offer, then they're not very serious about that development. Now, maybe a second question you might have is, okay, maybe I don't sell, what could possibly get developed there? So that, you know, doesn't ruin my home.
So if we say we in our building, the six units, we don't want to sell our properties, or say a few want to and a few don't.
Well, it has to be all.
It has to be everybody.
Right. I mean, I don't.
Okay.
Right.
So then,
it'd be kind of hard.
Even though we're so close to North Avenue and Harlem, they can't force the issue to affect our properties
it'd
in any
very,
way.
It'd be very difficult to force
okay.
the issue. And so, that's what you're right. And again, if they come with a very attractive board offer, you know, listen to them. If it's nothing that you like, then you have certainly the opportunity to say no.
The reason that came to my mind is because at Chicago Avenue in Harlem, they're putting a senior
yep.
residence there,
yes.
and they're taking the TCF Bank away, and I believe it was three single-family homes.
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that
okay,
up.
Example.
Now, that's a great example, even though that's not a TIF, okay?
Oh, it was not a TIF?
It's
no.
not a TIF.
Okay.
But that's a great example of where a developer saw a spot, because TCF didn't go out of business. They're just moving over across the street. They wanted a much smaller branch. They thought their, you know, their branch that was at Chicago and Harlem on Rivers Foreside was just a little bit too large. And so, you know, the developer, a buyer, you know, was interested in their property, but it's also a limited property. So whatever they could develop, because we have zoning restrictions, you know, they felt it was very restrictive to build anything that that the developer wanted to build. So they went to the three property owners, and they made their deal within the developer and the three property owners. And that worked out in the best interest of the property
owners. So that was all voluntary?
All voluntary.
Now, what if that was a TIF?
Same difference. That's what I'm saying. It
That's part of River Forest, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
All
so could they force them?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
The TIF, again, and I know it's so difficult because it took me years to understand it. It really is a finance tool
yeah.
for us, the government, to help, you know, and we're all neighbors right here. We're all
improve the area.
Improve the area.
For business.
And for you.
And residential.
And for you. And for me. I live not very close
would
to
that region. Include sewers?
Yes. Yes, it includes
what about landscaping?
Yes.
Streets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
yes,
kind of
yes.
how I understood it. But I saw a report online. It said draft report. And it had a bunch of, under this acquisition, because when I got my, when we got our correspondences, it says land acquisition, blah, blah, well, blah, blah. But then on this report that was from April of 2018, there were a whole slew of PIN numbers and addresses that were, from me reading it, it sounded as though they would not be part of it. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, I'm not quite sure I understand. Like,
they would not be part of any eminent domain.
No eminent domain. But I think land acquisition is your question. And
yeah.
there was a case like on Madison Street where the Lutheran Family Services building, which is on Madison and Ashland, mm-hmm. Were leaving because they're consolidating. And so we thought it was in the best interest of us residents in River Forest to purchase that building because they were selling it. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, let's purchase it so that we control what goes up there versus a developer coming out and buying it and then building whatever, you know, again, it has to
whatever they build has to meet the standards. But we thought it was best that we, you know, control that piece of property versus a developer. So that was, again, voluntary. You know, they wanted to sell, and that was why we used TIF dollars to buy that land for that purpose.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. Okay, Diana, I got this right? San Lucas.
Good evening, Madam President, trustees. Thank you for taking the time tonight. I actually have two questions. One is, how many active TIFs do we have in River Forest, and which ones are proposed for the near 2-3 years?
Right, so Madison Street is the currently the only active TIF in River Forest, and North currently is the only one that's proposed.
Okay.
Lake Street has been
finished.
Finished, yes.
Okay. My other question is, you explained how we had the incremental income or whatever that was that you referred to, and I understand that we are freezing the tax base for the properties that are considered part of the TIF. My question is if we are freezing the tax levels and we're diverting that money towards the TIF, how are we expected, or how are we going to be funding some of the essential services in the village?
Good question. And so, again, you're freezing the assessed valuation. You're not freezing the levies. You're not freezing the tax rates. You're just freezing the first part of your tax bill. So if you look at your tax bill, and trust me, I deal with this every day, and I have to, like, step back and refresh my memory on what we're looking at here. But the first part of your tax bill will look at assessed valuation. That's the part that's going to get frozen. The taxing bodies will continue to levy those dollar amounts as they deem necessary. So the school district, the village, will continue to levy what it does. And then again, as the value of that grows, right? And so another way to look at it is if the Chicago, let's use Chicago and Harlem as a good example, if that project comes online, there's new value that's created that I can capture as a governing body to put into my tax levy. And so that becomes new money. In this situation, that new, let's say, new project comes online, or we take a multifamily project and we create new parking opportunities or something, we do something really nice that increases the value of that. That new value, instead of going to the coffers for the governing bodies, goes into that small bucket that we saw earlier.
Okay. What is the expected revenue? Do you have any idea?
Bob?
It depends on tax rate, but it could be anywhere, again, depending on the projects, $2.5 million a year, stabilized.
Over 23 years.
Oh, right, but every year over 23 years again. And that would be impacted by the type of project. If you're a smaller project, it could be $750,000 to $1 million. But again, we had to start big, so they could be up to $2 million.
And as a resident, where would I find the disclosures for these annual reports?
Yeah, so those will all be on our website as they take place. And then also you can download the annual TIF report at the Illinois State Comptroller. By law, we have to submit that to the State Comptroller, and you can always download it there, but it's typically available on our website as well.
Okay.
Now, are we going to put this presentation up by me?
We sure can.
Yeah.
I can come to your house and give it to you because I've memorized it. So just give me your name.
I'll put on a pot of coffee.
Yeah. Corners of River Forest.
This is a great picture that, you know, for everyone to really look at and study, because it really does boil down to how, you know, where the baseline starts. If we were to do nothing, you'd get that big black line. It would be your value of the properties in general would never rise. With the TIF and creating new development, the hope is the value all rises. And so that's your uptick in that latter piece of that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Just as we're required to have annual audits of our financial statements, we also have to do an annual audit of the TIF. So it's a separate report that is also on the website. So that's
excellent
public information.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, Dan?
My name is Daniel Lauber. I'm at 7215 Oak, and I'll do the obligatory. I'm a newcomer. I've only lived here 31 years. It's in the village board rules, I believe, for these meetings. Someone's got to make that lame joke. As you no doubt are aware, River Forest housing caters largely to the financially well-off households. Housing that's affordable to households with modest incomes is in very short supply and was reduced by village action, government action, during the 8 years that the number of multifamily units was frozen from 2001 to 2009. And that's housing that most of the village's employees could afford, our seniors could afford to own or rent, our workers at River Forest businesses could afford, recent college grads could afford, our teachers, village employees, librarians, social workers could afford. Several years ago, the corridor plan was presented to one of the predecessor boards that some of you were on that called for replacing much of the affordable housing all along North Avenue and along Harlem with expensive high-rises until 75 citizens showed up here to object. And the predecessor board very wisely removed that from the plan, but absolutely refused to commit to preserving existing affordable housing. And as you are, I'm sure, quite well aware, you can't build affordable housing on its own anymore. The cost of construction is too high. Right. So there's only two ways to deal with this, preserving existing affordable housing and requiring the inclusion of affordable housing in new construction. While, now, I'd like to suggest that if you really want to celebrate seniors, now is the time for the village to make that commitment to preserve the existing affordable housing in the TIF district where much of the village's affordable housing exists. I distributed to you some proposed draft policies for the North Avenue TIF district. And this is just a draft. This is not written in stone. It's just to get the discussion going and enable you to get ahead of this issue. Mm-hmm. One is that at least 20% of the new dwelling units that will be built should be affordable to households of modest incomes, in addition to any units replacing existing affordable homes, and they should be kept affordable for 99 years. None of this five-year business that they're doing in Oak Park with one of their high-rises with just five units. If existing dwellings are affordable to households with modest incomes are to be lost by this TIF district by new development, the village will replace them one for one with similarly affordable dwellings before vacating and demolishing the existing homes. So current residents will only have to move once. This is what the village did with the Lake Street TIF district when there was a high rise on what is now where Panera is, and they built a new one just north of the post office, and the people were able to move there at no additional cost, although I suspect they're paying higher property taxes now because the units are much nicer than what they were in. But they got the new building constructed first. And third, all affordable dwelling units should be maintained as affordable for at least 99 years. Now, this is nothing radical or new. Over 700 cities around the country have been doing this kind of inclusionary housing for decades, going back actually to the early 1970s when Montgomery County, Maryland started doing it. It's produced a ton of affordable housing there, including 1,500 units of public housing there. I'm not suggesting that for here, but I'm saying it is extremely successful. And I want to stress that housing affordable to households of modest incomes refers to rentals and ownership housing that costs no more than 30% of a household's gross monthly income. And that's typical, say, of teachers, retired seniors, recent college grads, librarians, social workers, village employees, nurses, and the self-employed, and especially city planners. I realize there's a lot of work to be done to implement this. I realize that you are pretty well along, but this is something that you can get ahead of and put into your policies for the TIF, your governing documents for the TIF. And I do want to close by noting, before anyone suggests that this sort of policy would interfere with the free market, let me make it abundantly clear, the mere existence of a TIF district interferes with the free market, as does the village's zoning that has resulted in it having such a small percentage of housing that ordinary people can afford. basically just about anybody who doesn't have a very high income has a tough time living in River Forest. Our median household income is $118,000, which is a extremely high median income. The average household income is $182,000. So half the people here, households here, have an income of 118 or more. Other half have it under 118,000, but the average is 182,000. We have no problem with the private market providing on its own vastly expensive housing. We have a situation at Lake and Lathrop where the village is subsidizing units that will cost $890,000 on the average with $2 million of TIF money for households, buildings that units that most people in River Forest could not afford to live in. You'd need an income of $290,000 to live in those units. Most people in River Forest don't make $290,000 a year. This is your opportunity with this TIF district to show our village's commitment to all of River Forest, not just the wealthy people in River Forest. It's your opportunity to genuinely celebrate River Forest seniors by enabling them to continue to live here in the village that they made great. So I'll be happy to work with you to develop this stuff, these policies, and I hope that you will give them very serious consideration and incorporate these or something very similar to them in the TIF documents and eventually in the comprehensive plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Next. Thank you for these draft policies. You know, we were focused on what you said in terms of where our most affordable housing is and where we're at. And so we're probably going to, you know, pursue the preserving of our homes in our policy. So we'll talk more about that as we move forward to adopting the TIF. But thank you for these ideas. Okay, Karen? Yep, please. Oh, Karen, sorry.
Hi, thank you for having this hearing. I'm Karen Dan-Gannon. I live at 1523 Ashland, immediately adjacent to the TIF property. So even though we're not exactly in it, I feel like we're still going to be affected by any development that takes place around us. The main question I had, and I'm one of the residents who spoke with Eric today, and Eric, if you could please even put that sign back up, the slide back up about eminent domain, because I do understand that when the Madison TIF district was created, there was not eminent domain protection language in the initial drafts before it was adopted, and that those residents worked very hard to get that language put in there. I was told in a conversation today with Eric that that same language is going to be adopted for this next one, although this slide gave me reason to pause because I think it says has proposed a similar policy, but it doesn't give an assurance that that eminent domain language will be in there. So that's part of the reason I'm speaking right now, because I want it to be a matter of public record that this board will provide eminent domain protection for properties in the TIF district.
Yes.
Yeah. For some of
the, yeah. It's exactly in the, it's, like, a, it's yeah. in the draft documents, the ones that are on the website that we've talked about.
Okay. Yes. Wait, we're so sure that that's not going to happen. That's why this is it to me. But I understand your
with
question.
All due respect.
Yeah.
But I the TIF is for 23 years. 12 years from now, none of you may be on this board anymore.
I'll probably be dead and gone.
I mean, that's very possible, right?
That's true.
But I may or may not be in my home 20 years from now. But 10 years from now, I still might be.
We're very respectful of that. We understand that, and that's why we agreed to that language.
So that language will be in there.
It's in there now.
It's in there now.
I think the term proposed is just misleading because this is still a draft that we're working with.
I see.
It is in the draft.
But we promise you we won't take it out of the draft.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And then I do want to try to be brief, but other questions came up as I was listening. So quick, easy one. Can this slideshow be added to the
website? That's what you said.
Website?
That's what I asked.
He's going to. Okay.
Lisa's actually probably working on it right now.
Does development in the TIF district have to abide by current zoning regulations and laws?
Yes.
Sure. And if those zones were regulations and laws were to be changed, what is the process for that? Is that something that this board does?
Yeah.
Yes, so anytime you amend the zoning code, so zoning code is what dictates how developments take place, that requires a whole other set of public hearings and processes. So you can't just approve a zoning change, a change to the zoning process at a village board meeting. It either has to go through the plan commission, the zoning board of appeals, sometimes both, depending on what type of change you're proposing, and usually also includes a lot of public input as well. So it's not something that can be turned on and switched.
So what kind of resident input is that besides public hearings?
Well, that's it.
Well, any project has to go through the DRB process, just like any other project in the report, whether it's in the TIF or not. So that process would still be the
more than 20,000 square feet
for plan development.
And forgive me for not knowing, but the Development Review Board is made up of all River Forest residents?
Yes.
Yes.
All River Forest residents.
Are they elected or appointed?
They're appointed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question then, Kathy. You started to address something when a previous resident was speaking about, I think it was the Cassidy Tire example.
Oh, yeah.
That resident, I think, was maybe more concerned about eminent domain and whether it's voluntary or not to sell your property. But you started to talk about a process for what gets developed next to homes.
Right. So let's say a developer comes and says, I want to... I hope this doesn't get out of proportion here. Cassidy, you know, Tires, and I want to develop there. And they say that's the perfect spot. Was that your question, and they develop something?
As an example, yeah. Like, and for what could get developed, for example, next to my property, which is...
They don't want any additional residents? They don't want additional properties? Is that what...
No, I'm saying if they do want additional properties.
Well, same thing that I just said. I mean, the developer would have to, knock on your door, and you would have to voluntarily agree or not agree to sell your property.
Okay. So if your home is not in the eminent, or if your home is not in the TIF district, right. I'm sorry, I used the wrong language. If your home's not in the TIF district, right. What voice do you have if you're right next door to it?
Well, you would have the same.
About what could go in there.
Oh, same thing. So let's say it was a cherry that, sold your house, right? You said, I'm out of here. I'm going to sell my house. And you are now next to whatever development. Now it comes around through the Development Review Board, through a planned development process, just like every other development we have throughout River Forest, like Lake and Lathrop, like all these other developments that are coming
Chicago,
aboard,
Harlem.
You would have a voice as a resident in that development.
Right.
So, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Because
we can't just magically put something up. It has to go through a process and meet the 8 standards that are within our Development Review Board. Zoning code. So that process, that due process is still there. Nothing, and what might happen is, that's why typically what will happen, developers will come to the village and say, hey, if we were able to negotiate with our Jerry and get a good deal, and we could build this, would this make sense? And we might say, no, that would never go be approved in River Forest. It's too ugly, or too big or something like that. So we don't lose, because we're all neighbors. I live close to North Avenue, too. We do not lose any of that due process.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn.
Most of my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Okie dokie.
Thank you.
Debbie?
Hello, I'm Debbie Bullens. We've owned our townhouse on North Avenue since 2000, and we have 2 children in the school system, fifth grader and a ninth grader at OPRF this year. I understand that there aren't any plans right now for any redevelopment, and I understand what you've been saying about the difficulty of eminent domain, but has any consideration been given to, should this happen, because it still is a possibility, to the students who will be involuntarily displaced from the schools? And I know it's just something that we have to know with all of this on the table.
I would just say I don't think there would ever be a time that, unless you made that choice, you'd have to make that choice that you want to sell and leave your home. Other than that, I don't see a circumstance by which we, involuntarily take you out of your home and then the children, too. I,
I just don't see, it's never happened in the past. I don't see a circumstance that it would, but unless I'm misunderstanding your question.
I just mean if a developer comes in,
yep.
Let's say, for example, I'm trying to think of every scenario, you know, there are 30 units
yep.
right there on North Avenue, as you know, half people agree and there's dispute over it. Is there any reason for me to be concerned that I'm going to be forced out and my children are going to have to leave the schools with not a lot of affordable housing in River Forest,
yeah.
because that we moved to River Forest for that reason, for
yes,
the great schools.
Yeah, we all did. I would say that I don't think a developer wants to get in the middle of a, you know, association argument. They'll probably walk well before, you know,
okay.
any of that, because that's just not, they're looking at a way to, you know, build something that's very nice for River Forest, but, you know, they're also, they also want to have a business, so they're not looking to get into arguments with residents. I mean, if you really have a divide between who wants to sell and who doesn't, I mean, truthfully, I think somebody mentioned moving the people that were on by Panera and moving them over to Lake and William. I mean, at 48, was it 48 or 46? All 48 and 46 had to agree. I mean,
okay.
if one did not, it was, you know, a disaster. But so, you know, I'm sure it was over time that they all talked through, but they moved from one part of River Forest to another part of River Forest. I think Dan mentioned it.
Right behind it.
It took years.
It took a long time to
okay.
get out of high school.
they may be out of college, truthfully. But
okay.
you would never see a developer, you know, you'd all have to agree.
And, okay. and the reality is the other thing to point out, too, when you're talking about the acquisition, any type of acquisition of property, it's expensive. So developers these days, I mean, if you think about the development projects that have taken place in River Forest over the last 10 years, there haven't been many. And that's part of the reason we're here. And so Chicago and Harlem's on the radar screen. Lake and Lathrop is starting to move along. And part of the reason the village is subsidizing in that, and it was a former TIF district, is because there's a ton of dry cleaning fluid in the ground, right? And so that is a TIF-eligible expense and why we're spending that money. So it is so expensive to acquire property and put a project together and then to put something in place that would fit the character of River Forest in its place, the economics become very difficult to do so.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Debbie. Okay, I'm going to... Adonis? Okay, thank you.
Good evening, board. My name is Adonis Epps, 7813 North Avenue. First, wow, that was great, man. Sorry, I don't know your name. Loved it. Great.
Dan.
A lot of my concerns were addressed, but there was one question I had. I think he made a statement that in order for the TIF to be approved or the area to be considered a TIF, that a redevelopment plan had to be set. So I'm not sure if I've heard what that plan is. I know you said that there really no consideration was going to be done, but if that's part of the criteria that needs to be met, what exactly was the plan that you put forth to have that TIF?
Yeah.
Sure, good question. So the redevelopment plan that's on the village's website is the plan that meets the statutory requirements in order to put a TIF district together. So typically it's more generic in nature,
okay.
and that goes back to the conversation about this being a financing tool.
Okay.
And I think I made this, if folks who were at the previous resident meetings will have heard me said, you know, I don't have a magic door that I can press and then all of a sudden the developer, you know, you press it and the developer turns around and says, ta-da, here's what we don't have any of that. And so that's why I stress to everyone, this is ultimately a financing tool and a way to create additional revenue. As different projects evolve and the market starts to speak, then the zoning requirements trigger, and then we get public input, and we allow for ideas and suggestions and feedback on those proposals. But the plan that's in the website is a plan that is more generic in nature and looks at possibilities of what might happen and how the area qualifies. There isn't a development plan that I think maybe you're speaking to, because
okay.
such a plan doesn't exist yet.
Okay. And as far as moving forward with that, with a development plan, may it come or may change,
mm-hmm.
how much voice will the residents of River Forest
sure.
have in those choices and those options that's available when the TIF starts coming down.
So I've worked in three communities in my municipal career, and this is by far the community that has the most level of public input than in any of the towns I've worked in. So first thing to point out is, number one, the only way a development proposal can be put forward is if either the person putting it forward owns the property or gets permission from the property owner to do so. So let's say I live in a house and I want to put forward a project, and I'm a developer. Well, I'm going to put forward a project because I think it's going to work. I can't do it unless I own it, have a contract to buy it, or have your permission to do so. So I think that's an important fact to point out.
Okay.
You have to have a resident meeting. So before you even start the formal process with public meetings, you are required to meet with residents within 500 feet. State law requires 250. Your village elected officials require 500 because they want to be sure that they get as much public input as possible, right? Then from there, there is a public hearing in front of the Development Review Board. So the folks, when we talked about Lake and Lathrop, that took place at Concordia University a week or so ago, and they were getting input from all the residents on Lathrop and on Ashland and Franklin and all those folks. They were coming and saying, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, here's what I think you should change and recommend. Then that goes to the village board, and then the village board ultimately makes that final decision. And you're notified in a letter regarding all three of these steps: the resident meeting, the public hearing, as well as the village board meeting. And that doesn't count the proactive communication we put out on the website, Facebook, etc.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Timothy? Okay. All right. Okay, well, that concludes, unless anybody's dying to speak to us. Okay.
Can I just make a comment? I did put my name down.
Yes, you may. Yep, and if you can just state your name again.
This is really more a comment. This is a comment, not a question.
Do you mind just saying your name for the audio purposes?
Marilyn Thomas. I live at 7911 North Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Madison Avenue TIF. There were a lot of objections to the eminent domain. There was some changes made to that, which you have incorporated in the North Avenue TIF for certain properties. And I have talked with Eric Palm about the properties that front North Avenue. Those properties are not included in the exclusion of eminent domain. And I guess my comment is, if the assertions that you make that eminent domain will never be used, never have been used, then why not take it out completely? And if it won't be taken out completely, then I have to say there must be some possibility that it could be used.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my comment.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Merle.
Well, there's nothing
to answer. I mean, it's nothing to say. All right, so that concludes our public hearing for the TIF.
If we could, President Aducci, if there could please be a motion to close and adjourn the public hearing that's seconded, and a voice vote would be appropriate.
Okay.
I'll move to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Well, before you do, again, because of the common law conflict that I have in representing District 200 and District 90, I'm going to recuse myself from voting on the adjournment.
On the adjournment?
Right. Which closing a public hearing, I should say.
Okay, which is a voice vote.
That's correct. So he will be reflected as abstaining
right.
in the minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so I think that puts us at the end of our We have no recommendation, no nothing else, so if I can get an adjournment to the
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And I just want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. And if you do have additional questions or items that come up after this meeting, or you come home and you're like, oh, geez, I forgot about this or that, my contact information is on the website. Please call me, email me, and I'd be happy to address any questions or comments you have. So thank you.
Yep, thank
you. And yes. The presentation's already online, so it's there.
Good job, Lisa.
All right, thank you so much, everyone.